Minnesota, Minnesota, we are south of Manitoba. We are east of North Dakota. We got something really rare. It's fulfilling, entertaining. It's true culture you'll be gaining. Except no imitations, it's the fair.
It's state fair time. Each state fair is a special celebration. In Minnesota, the weather usually plays a big role. That's our main topic as jet streaming goes to the fair.
I'm going to see the butterheads you want to come with. Minnesota, Minnesota, we are south of Minnesota.
I cannot believe it. They let us out of the studio. We're here at the Minnesota State Fair for jet streaming. I'm Kathy Werzer, along with my friends, meteorologist Paul Huttner, climatologist Mark Seely. What a great day at the fair.
It is. It's great to be out here again, the great Minnesota get-together. Weather is a huge thing to people in Minnesota, and there's a lot of cool weather-related places to visit out here.
We're going to do that as well. Mark Seely, good to see you out here at the beautiful Minnesota State Fair.
Always good to be here, and I'm happy to report that for the 11th year in a row, we did our Minnesota weather quiz here on opening day of the state fair.
You see, it wouldn't be opening day without the Minnesota weather quiz. Now, how did people do?
Actually, people here in our live audience did extremely well. We gave away a lot of prizes because they were answering most of the questions correctly. It's been our tradition in recent years to ask questions about last year's weather headlines. And then, since it's the Minnesota State Fair, to also ask questions about Minnesota's weather history. And most of the people are quite astute when it comes to those topics.
Okay. How did you do, by the way?
I need a little work. I didn't get 100%, I can tell you that. It's tough. And, Mark, how did it go out here in terms of, was there one question that was the easiest to answer, that folks did the best on, and was there one that was kind of a trip-up question for them?
Oh, boy. Well, some of the easy questions are ones, of course, related to recent weather headlines. Like, we had a question about recent Hurricane Dean in the Gulf of Mexico. We had a question about the recent flash floods in southeastern Minnesota, something that's been in the headlines. Some of the ones that historically trip me up every single time.
Trip you up?
Yes. As I get asked, oh, when's the first fall frost going to be, you know? Or when's the first snow going to fly? Or what's the total snowfall going to be this coming winter?
And things like that. I thought you knew that.
Yeah. So my fallback position is just to go with the trends. So I usually estimate based on some recent trend number, which I might as well just pull a number out of a hat. Because as Paul well knows, it's so darn variable in the state of Minnesota that the error bands around our guesses are huge. So anyway, I just try to do my best. And then I refuse to give out my address and phone number because I don't want anybody following up and saying how dead wrong you were.
That happens to you all the time, don't you? You're just kind of, you're always incognito.
It does. We try to, there are certain days when we try to keep a low profile, but it goes with the territory. We're right most of the time. When we're wrong, we usually have a whopper. But boy, if Mark and I could predict those season snowfalls and first snowfalls in advance, we probably would be living in a little bit bigger house than we're in right now, right?
You know, there's always, of course, a special, the state fair has its own climatology, I think you could probably say, Professor Seely. When you look back at the weather books, have there been some interesting events that have happened here at the Minnesota State Fair?
Yes, notably one of the most memorable was August 30, 1977, and there was a late afternoon, early evening thunderstorm. One of the all-time worst in the Twin Cities area. Some parts of the metro area got over 7 inches. And I think the fairgrounds got somewhere between 5 and 7 inches. And it's one of the few times that the grandstand show, the big performers, I don't remember who it was, but one of the few times that the grandstand show was completely washed out and everybody went home. I mean, we had torrents of water going down some of these roads and pathways here in the fairgrounds and really washed out everything. Now, the other historical attributes, we usually have one 90-degree day. But actually, you know, it looks like this year we might not see 90 anymore. I mean, it's starting to look that way. But usually there's one or more real uncomfortable days where we get to 90 and we have a high dew point. But and other than that, I would say historically probably it's a 12-day fair run. Paul can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think maybe we historically have about two or three of those 12 days that see some form of precipitation, which isn't too bad, especially for those people that have to plan to come in from outstate and set aside a whole day or a weekend for the fair.
Help me out here, gentlemen. Because the state fairgrounds happens to be a large area, we're in an urban setting for the most part, would the state fairgrounds have its own microclimate?
Well, Mark might be better versed in this than I am. I don't think it would in terms of any different from the urban microclimate that we're in. A place like the state fairground, you're probably going to have a higher nighttime minimum temperature this time of year than you would in some of the outlying areas of the state. But overall, I don't think so. What do you think, Mark?
What do you think?
Yeah, the only thing that comes to mind for me is having been here for the better part of 30 years now, the air quality, well, maybe I shouldn't go to air quality, the scents in the air with everything on a stick, everything they cook on a stick, like you can walk past the pork chop on a stick place and suddenly the rest of the day your clothes are smelling like pork chops, you know what I mean? So you pick up a lot of in the atmosphere of the state
aromas.
Fair. Yeah,
yes.
you pick up a lot of different things there. But as far as actual local scale effects, rainfall-wise, temperature-wise, humidity-wise, I doubt that there's anything terribly significant going on.
Now, we're
going
to go walk around the state fairgrounds here, but would you both agree with me that, and Mark, you know this because you just were in front of a very savvy crowd, that this whole region is very weather savvy, and there are areas around here at the state fair that really play that up?
Oh, yes, absolutely. You know, weather, in fact, weather is a dominant topic at the state fair in a number of venues. We've got the media meteorologists, television and radio meteorologists are here, and they've got certain giveaways. They may be cloud charts, cloud identification charts. They may be weather guide calendars like we've given away. They may be books about the weather. The National Weather Service is present at an education booth here, so you can learn about their programs and get some education from them. And then the other neat thing is, you know, and this goes back generations, rural Minnesota comes into the Twin Cities for the state fair. We've got all the livestock shows, the horse shows. We've got the kids bringing in their best squash, their best tomato. I mean, we got all of that going on. And it's a time for everybody to share as a statewide community about what's gone on the last year. And you will, if you listen to those conversations, you will invariably hear the weather embedded in those conversations. Something about last winter, something about early this season, maybe their first planting of their crop got washed out. So it's very much a part of the Minnesota culture to hear conversations about weather at the fair.
Having worked in so many different areas of the country in my end of it, Chicago, Arizona, and visited other places, always talking to meteorologists from other markets, Minnesota, the Twin Cities, one of the most weather-savvy, well-educated weather markets in the country. People know a lot about weather here because they really pay a lot of attention to the broadcast media, people like Mark dispensing, you know, a depth of information, and they seem hungry for it. Almost as hungry for the food here at the fair.
Now, as a TV meteorologist with a background in TV meteorology, what's it like to be here at the fair and try to forecast and deal with people coming up and saying, you got it wrong, you got it wrong, you know?
This is their one chance a year to really hold us accountable, shall we say. And we do get it wrong sometimes. A lot of studies have been done. The next day's weather forecast, often about 90% accurate. So 9 out of 10 days, generally, we're doing a real good job. Interesting over the years how that has improved. The 3.5-day forecast about 20 years ago, same accuracy as the 5-day forecast now. So there are improvements in the science of forecasting. Will it ever be perfect? I don't think so, because it's a vast atmosphere, and we only measure a very small portion of it.
Comment?
The public has a memory like an elephant when you're wrong. When you're wrong, they're going to remember that the rest of their life.
It's true. Amen.
Well, I tell you what, gentlemen, I think we have enough time to just sneak off and get a quick little something on a stick and eat. And I'm going to take Mr. Huttner up to, we're going to talk wind energy here, I think, in the next couple of minutes. All right? Is that all right?
Sounds like a plan.
And Dr. Seeley, we'll see you in a few minutes.
Good talking to you.
There's a building at the Minnesota State Fair dedicated to alternative energy and ways to reduce your imprint on the earth. Wind energy is a part of that. One business that uses meteorology to determine how best to harness the wind is Wind Logix, based in St. Paul. We're here at the Wind Logix booth with Josh Steinogle. So Josh, what are we seeing here?
Well, what you're seeing on our main screen is we went and simulated some particle dispersion over the entire country over Hurricane Katrina. And it's really a good way to see how all the weather patterns are tied together. You know, we usually think of the weather around your house as, you know, we got rain coming this afternoon or a little system coming through, but really nothing is by itself. The jet stream makes some very large swaths across the country, and even as the hurricane comes in, you can see it affecting Minnesota weather, some patterns over the southeast and northeast parts of this country, and it's all one big system. And in order to understand what's going on the general wind resource, you need to really put some science behind it and take the time and do it right before you make a multi-million dollar investment. And that's what we really focus in.
So how do you do that?
Well, we have a whole bunch of numerical weather models, some meteorologists and physicists who are much smarter than I am, and they develop systems where we can model the atmosphere and give you some long-term 40-year results of what the weather's doing.
So, Paul Huttner, this could be a whole new career for you.
It could be, yeah. It sounds complicated. And you know, what you guys do is very important, and frankly, it's really cool just from a scientific standpoint. Why Minnesota? You're based here. Why does it seem like wind is taking off in Minnesota?
Well, Minnesota's got a nice combination of politics and resources right now. If you look, we did a state wind map for the Department of Commerce that's available online, and you can see the whole southwest, southern, and western part of the states are all very good from just a raw resource perspective. But more than that, you know, even North Dakota, South Dakota have a great resource, but we fortunately have a good political will in Minnesota to finance wind energy development and to push it onto the grid. So, you know, we have the load, we have the wind resource, and the politics. It kind of comes together in one nice package.
The difficulty in putting this wind map together, what was that like?
That was a very large project for us. If you look at it, the resolution, which is just the each pixel on the map, is a 500-meter block. So we took the entire state of Minnesota, which is, of course, a large area. We ran numerical weather models that were initialized by data from the National Weather Service and a couple other agencies. And we did it in two phases. One was a large-scale model called a mesoscale model, which captures large weather flows like the jet stream and things like that. And we were able to get a grid that was, I believe, 1 kilometer in resolution. And then we ran a whole series of mosaic fine-scale models, which were the 500-meter model. And that captures small terrain effects like a ridgeline, a hill, some trees, things like that. And we stitched them all together with our system and made one coherent map. And this was a very large project, one of the most complex we've ever done.
If you look at the map, you can see that the Buffalo Ridge in southwest Minnesota, one of the highest wind potential areas, also east of the Red River Valley, up along east of Fargo and Grand Forks and up toward Roseau, and then also along the southern tier of counties, especially as you head toward Albert Lea and Rochester. Is there a day when we're going to see wind farms in many of these areas soon across Minnesota?
Well, I think we're starting to get there now. If you drive south along 35 as you go into Iowa, there's some fairly large wind farms there. One of the constraints in Buffalo Ridge right now that's limiting development is the power transmission. You know, they can only put so much onto the grid, so there may be a lot of good wind spots, but there's only so many ways you can pipe it out. And I think as that problem becomes exacerbated and more people want to put up these wind turbines, they're going to look to these resource areas that are not as good as the ridge but are still very good. So,
as a meteorologist, I know that my part of the business is very small. Actually, only 4% of meteorologists work in radio or television. Tell us about the meteorologists that work with Wind Logix and what they do for you.
Sure. Well, the meteorologists we have specialize primarily in numerical weather modeling. So maybe the same kind of models they might use for the evening news to tell you what's going to happen the next day. We use it to simulate past events of the weather, and they can use that information to to generate these long-term wind assessments. So they need to be specialists in statistics, numerical weather modeling, and also just have a general know-how of how the atmosphere works so they can communicate it to a client and tell them where a good wind spot is.
Final question from me here, Josh, as we're sitting here at your booth. What do you like about doing this?
Well, I like the chance to do a lot of different things every day. I mean, when I went to school, it was originally for electrical engineering and power systems, and I always envisioned working for, kind of a engineering firm just designing this stuff. But, instead at WindLogix, I can go all over the country and look at different wind projects and help manage them from start to finish and be a part of, saving the world in a small way, which makes me extremely happy.
Thank you, Josh. That is Josh Steinagel with WindLogix, based in the Twin Cities. Well, let's see. It would be nice to have a little tailwind because we're going to have to run nearly the length of the fairgrounds to get to our next stop, but it's going to be well worth it. What it feels like to be blown around by a small tornado as jet streaming continues.
A tornado is blowing, and there's a twister tonight. Black funnel cloud rolling, destroying everything inside. Oh, Mother Nature.
We are at the Minnesota State Fair today, and we are at the KSTP television booth with Patrick Hammer, morning meteorologist, and we are going inside a tornado.
Yes. Are you ready? I mean, are you ready for
this? How bad is this?
This is a full-on F5 on the Fujita scale here. probably the one and only time we'll have one of these on the state fairgrounds. But it's actually really exciting to get a firsthand look and feel of what it's like to be in or near a tornado. And, of course, it's safe, which makes it worthwhile.
Let's go check this thing out.
All right, let's
okay.
go.
Welcome to Tornado Alley.
Welcome.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, the first and foremost thing when you come into Tornado Alley, of course, is you see my picture, and that's where everybody stops, They gaze. And then about a half an hour later, they continue on. Of course,
I'm kidding. They're about 5-10 deep today,
I see. Yeah. Anyway, you'll see that Dave Dahl, of course, our chief meteorologist, who was one of the people kind of behind this thing, has footage of some tornado chasing that he's done and that we've all done in the last couple of years, as well as numerous facts about Minnesota tornadoes, which some people may know or may not know.
And do you remember, I don't know if you remember when Dave did the tornado chasing several years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Kathy, you might remember this. He was helping people hide under a bridge somewhere in Illinois, I think, as the storms came through. Pretty compelling stuff.
And you hear him in the video yelling really loudly, debris, debris. And he gets a little ribbing from all of us because he is so excited, as all of us meteorologists are or would be if we saw a tornado. But, I mean, he turned into an absolute kid in a professional way upon seeing a tornado, helping those people, and, of course, getting very excited when he saw one.
Let's move on.
Going through here, we've got some more scenes of severe weather in Minnesota, as well as true and false questions, and also some famous radar imagery taken from SkyMax 5 of severe weather moving in towards the Golden Valley and eventually in towards the Twin Cities.
Boy, this is really getting loud here. So before we go in here, because obviously we're not going to be able to hear anything when we get in there, what is this going to be that we're going to enter?
What you're probably hearing in the background is a specially designed wind machine that was made by a production company that specializes in special effects. So it's not just some, fan on steroids. This is actually numerous fans that are positioned in such a way that it feels like the swirl of a tornado, as well as the sound effects and even some visual effects as well.
Okay, are you ready?
And what kind of winds, Patrick, are we talking about with this simulated tornado?
I believe would be probably on the F1 to F2 scale. So, anywhere between, 75 and maybe 100 miles an hour. So I think we might lose some hair, but other than that, I think we'll be okay.
Bad hair day. Okay, here we go.
I'd say that we're in about an F0 tornado right now, probably winds 75, 80 miles an hour, and it certainly sounds like it would in a tornado, but I've never been in one before, so this is a first for me.
Wow.
Wow, so we survived. One of the things that I think people get from this is a real respect of severe weather and tornadoes here in Minnesota, not just from the feel of it, but also, again, the little facts that people can learn through this tour. If you have any interest in severe weather in Minnesota, not just to entertain the kids, but just to learn about tornadoes here, this is a great place to come visit.
Only at the Minnesota State Fair do you two agree you'd find something like this?
Paul, I've been to a few state fairs in my career, and this is certainly the most weather-savvy city I've ever been in. And, yeah, you get all sorts of exhibits in other state fairs, but nothing as weather-related as this.
Yeah, people love the weather here. This is a great exhibit, Patrick. Thanks thanks for showing it to us.
Let's go again.
Many, many thanks to Patrick Hammer. Patrick is a meteorologist at KSTP-TV in the Twin Cities.
Mr. Weatherman, why's my baby so cold? Well, I've been watching you on Channel 13. You seem to know a lot about the weather scene.
Well, that was quite an experience, I have to say, coming out of that tornadic wind activity.
It's as close as I've ever been to a tornado, and hopefully as close as I'll ever get. Patrick Hammer, what a joy. He did a great job explaining all that.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for being my co-host here at the Minnesota State Fair. We'll see you again next week, okay?
You're welcome, Kathy. Look forward to seeing you again.
I'm going to go hit that Prono Pup booth right over there, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. For Jet Streaming, I'm Kathy Werzer, along with Paul Huttner and Mark Seeley. If you have a question for the Jet Streaming crew, don't be shy. We have a special form you fill out by going to minnesotapublicradio.org, going to the Jet Streaming podcast. Until next week, remember to keep your eyes on the sky.
Keep on the sun.